And we have reached episode 26 of The Blaze, our presenting sponsor, Rivershore Golf Links. The season nicely underway and a loaded show here to close out the regular season. Logan Barrow set to share his wisdom with us. We have a lot to discuss with the longtime Blazer. He's seen it all in his time here. He's standing by. We'll get to that feature interview here in a few minutes. Lots to recap from this past week and a very interesting scenario here brewing this weekend that will have the Blazers perhaps front and center in the Western Conference battle for the top seed. We'll explain what we're talking about that as well. Hey, and also, Wednesday night, we had a little Blazer-on-Blazer action in the NHL. For me, it was worlds colliding. Connor Ingram in goal with the Arizona Coyotes Wednesday night against the Dallas Stars.
Off Lundqvist, wrist shot, save, rebound, score! Stay COVID! Six-on-five delayed penalty. Logan Stankoven gets his latest to tie the game.
And that's Logan's sixth of his season. Connor Ingram on the other side. A strange one to digest for sure. Rivershore Golf Links up and running. Congratulations to our contest winners last week at Road Trip Beers. Justin and Tyler Lowy. They both won a pair of passes to Rivershore for the season ahead. It is The Blaze. It is episode 26. Let's get into it. All right, the opener for Bry's Automotive and Customs. We appreciate Bry's being on board at 125 Wilson Street. Custom automotive repairs, specializing in car and pickup truck repairs, restorations, repainting, custom paint and body work. They do custom engine work and as well, full service automotive repairs. You can take your Toyota Corolla in if you'd like as well. You don't have to be a monster truck or a supercar. You can take your Datsun in if you'd like it. 125 Wilson Street. As you might have heard already, we've talked a little bit about it on our broadcast. Defenseman Ryan Michael set for hip surgery. He will miss this final weekend of the regular season. It's been a nagging problem for him that he's played through this year. So he'll be out for a while, and I ran into him, and we spoke about the surgery and the recovery process.
Yeah, past few years I've been dealing with some hip issues, and I thought now it's the best time to take care of that. So unfortunately I'll be missing the last two games of the season, but I think it's for the best for both me and the team. So I'm just looking forward to starting the rehab and getting back to being healthy.
Yeah, it's probably a condition that's, you know, bothered you for a while now, safe to say, Ryan?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's something that's definitely gotten worse over the season. So, like I said, I think it's time to take care of it, and that's what I'm planning on doing.
Yeah, I guess full recovery would be, in a perfect world, pain-free for next season type of thing, or what's your expectations here?
Yeah, that's obviously the hope. It's going to definitely take some lots of work, lots of rehab, but hopefully pain-free is the outcome. It sounds like 6 months is the return to play, so I'm just going to take it day by day, week by week, but hopefully I can start skating by the end of summer and get ready for next season.
So the Blazers will be out another regular here in the final weekend. That list is growing. Harrison Brunick had the season extended into next week. There's a good chance that Harrison Brunick would be available. Kai Matthews still out. Dylan Ernst still out. But that's given an opportunity here to dress some youngsters and get really young. In fact, they dressed their youngest lineup of the season easily in Seattle Tuesday. That night, six 16-year-olds and 15-year-old Ty Bunkowski, and they held their own. Goaltender Logan Edmonstone was just terrific. What a performance he had in Seattle. 48 saves. Didn't crack the three stars, though, but he's come in and impressed, and it's really been a nice bright spot here, a nice, you know, it's been a tough season, but there's been certain moments, and this has been one of them for me anyways, Logan Edmonstone and playing so well and really making things very interesting for next season. And the playoff races are so very tight, and it involves the Blazers in this final weekend. How so? Well, Portland and Prince George, they are fighting for that number one seed. And I'll explain in a few minutes in our next segment what that's all about, because this has an interesting little sidebar to it that involves the Blazers and the Seattle Thunderbirds. Top three seeds in the West. How about this? They've been on a massive roll. We talk about PG, Portland, also Everett. Combined, those three teams have picked up at least a point in 35 consecutive games. And two of those three teams will meet in the second round of the playoffs, barring all the favorites go through in the opening round. But there's also a massive battle in the middle of the conference for playoff positioning. Wenatchee, Vancouver, Kelowna, Victoria, 4, 5, 6, 7. And they're all within, as we record this, 3 points of each other. So home ice advantage is still very much in the cards for these teams. Wenatchee has the inside track. But right now, again, we've talked about this. Everybody trying to finish, if you're in that bottom half of the conference, in 4 or 5, and not 6 or 7, so you can avoid, you know, some of the powerhouses in the West here to start. Lots of intrigue to close out the season. We'll be following that during our Blazer broadcast here this weekend. That is the opener for Bry's Automotive and Customs. Okay, let's go on the move now for Thompson Valley Charters, where the call for bus drivers is out there. Thompson Valley Charters, your ticket to travel and adventure, a family-owned company. And they offer multiple bus routes to destinations across BC and Alberta. And as well, again, a family-owned company that has the hardware looking for a few more drivers for their roster. Always, you can go online, tvcbus.ca. Okay, let's get into this scenario here. And it's a bit of a concerning one, to say the least. Portland and Prince George, right now, heading into the weekend, PG has a 2-point lead. Portland has a game in hand. So Portland has 3 games left. They play Tri-City, Seattle, Seattle. Prince George, Blazers, and Blazers, home and home. If these teams hold serve and win out, and trust me, they'll be going for it because that number one seed is very important. Here's what sets up in a tiebreaker scenario. And it might not be good news for Kamloops or Seattle in this one. First tiebreaker would be wins, season wins. They would be tied. They'd be tied. Second tiebreaker, head-to-head series amongst each other. They played 4 games. Each team won twice in regulation. They are tied. Third tiebreaking scenario, goals for and against during the season. Okay. How close are they now? 4 goals separate their plus minus. 4. Portland has the edge, and they play another game. So if the tiebreaker is that, both Portland and Prince George will be going for it this weekend. There's no letting off the gas, or there's no, you know, we're up. Let's say the scenario is one of these teams are up large. They really have, and I hate to say it, they really have no choice but to keep going. And we talk a lot about first power play units. You know, what happens if it's out of reach and, you know, both these teams are putting out their top guys late? It'll draw some ire, but they can play the whole, it's like the Memorial Cup format or World Juniors, where goals for and against could decide first place. Likely will decide first place. So, again, the Blazers in Seattle can have something to say about this. They can win one of those games head-to-head. And that would change things. But right now, if you're Prince George in Portland, how do you handle this weekend in that scenario? How do you handle it? The Blazers will be very young this weekend. Not only, you know, making room for younger players, but without several regulars due to injury. So this is a very interesting topic here, and one that our fans should keep in mind this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. We'll see how it plays out. Also, Blazers have been a really scrappy team here lately. 6 fights in their last 2 games. They had 3 against Vancouver in that game Saturday. And then they had 3 more in Seattle Tuesday. Something this team has not done a lot of. Nathan Baim, the 16-year-old, was forced into a fight with Seattle 20-year-old forward Sam Popovich. Usually you don't see it. There's almost an unwritten code. A 20-year-old doesn't go after a 16-year-old. Just doesn't happen. Guess that didn't apply in Seattle the other night. Popovich took an instigator penalty on the play. I asked Nathan about that. Now, he ran into Niko Mijatovic, one of their top players, and that drew a response. But I asked Nathan about it.
Nathan, 16 years old, first WHL scrap. It was sort of a bit of a excuse me play that you made coming off the bench. What do you recall from last night?
Yeah, I remember just hopping on the ice, and it was kind of a stretch pass, and I just stepped up on my guy, and apparently they didn't like that, so he kind of came after me and dropped his gloves, and then so he kind of got a punch in before I did, even dropped my gloves, so then I dropped them, and it was pretty fun. Got a little momentum, and we played good the rest of the way from there.
Yeah, that's a 20-year-old, right, too, in the league, a veteran guy. You're just but you're 16 years old, so a bit of a mismatch. But did you know you were kind of, oh, this is happening, or what was sort of the mindset?
Yeah, it's kind of, you're not really thinking in the moment. You kind of just want to protect yourself and maybe throw a couple in there. But, yeah, it was good. I know I'm capable of protecting myself and helping, and if that's even contributing like that. But, yeah, it's good to get the first one over with.
So interesting there. Speaking of 20-year-olds, Blake Svetlakov, he's winding things down here. We'll have another 20-year-old coming up in moments in Logan Barrows. And also kudos to Ashton Furster. All three will be honored before the game Friday night. Blake's wrapping up his WHL career, over 200 games played. He started in Spokane, Lethbridge, and now Kamloops. And admits, you know, I tried to ask him about it, like, what kind of thoughts he's feeling, and at least for now anyways, not getting too sentimental.
I haven't really put much reflection into it yet. I don't know. I'm sure once the season's over and I have time to look back, I'll say, you know, whatever went by quick, all the cliches. But right now I'm just focused on playing hockey and playing good hockey. I still want to take a lot of pride in, you know, playing the right way and playing to win.
So that's on the move for Thompson Valley Charters. Okay, feature interview time. Logan Barrows standing by. Blazer captain. Hydra Power Wash is your mobile pressure washing services, and they service Kamloops, the BC interior, where they specialize in heavy equipment and fleet washing, exterior window cleaning, and full exterior house washes. If you've been putting off your pressure wash of your home or your driveway or perhaps some of your outdoor features, then Christopher is your guy. You can contact him at info@hydropowerwash.ca. Text him 250-851-1072. He'll come up with a quote, discuss your washing needs. Find him on Facebook or Instagram. They are Hydra Power Wash. It's a bittersweet time as we wind down a season. We always say so long to our graduating 20-year-olds and those that might not return due to pro contracts. And after a long run in Kamloops, our guest Logan Barrows will depart and move on in his hockey and life journey. Logan, welcome to the Blaze. Appreciate you in one of your final days in Kamloops anyways, spending some time with us here in the studio.
I appreciate you having me on.
So have you been reminiscent at all, or sort of have you been lost in some thoughts of, you know, your last 4 or 5 years as a Blazer? Take me through what this week's been like.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look back on my body of work here over the course of 5 seasons, I had a lot of great seasons. We had some really good teams. It's been a lot of fun. And you know, I've learned a lot from when I was 16, 17, and then eventually when I was a full time defenseman at 18 up to 20. I learned a ton. I learned a ton from the coaches, from other players, other defensemen that have kind of paved the way for me and showed me how to play. I've learned a lot from the great leaders we've had over the course of my seasons, and I'm really appreciative for all of it.
You've seen like a lot. Like, I think back, like, you have been part of a 16-year-old debut in Moose Jaw, a 17-year-old bubbled hockey season in a really weird environment where games were played here and in Kelowna. You've been part of a Memorial Cup roster, and now you've been part of a rebuild process. Like, I think you checked all your WHL boxes over your years here.
Absolutely. And like you said process, it is a process, right? That's the, it's the way the WHL works, right? So obviously, there's not going to be, hopefully not too many bubbles in the future for the yeah. WHL, but, I've seen a lot. I've been in different positions, with, short seasons or, playing forward even a little bit at 17. So, for all that stuff, you know, I think it's been a good experience. It's been, stuff that I've learned a lot from, even maybe when you're not in the position that that you thought you were going to be or that you'd like to be in. But you know, I think you can learn a lot from it if you really, really just go after it and take a step back to understand why it is you're in that situation. So, you know, over the years and all the different situations I've been in, I think it's made me a more well-rounded person and definitely a well-rounded player as well.
Yeah, you've really grown as a player. I always thought you were mature coming in. I always said you were this polite 16-year-old coming in. And you said to me, well, I think I still am polite, which was a funny line. Yeah, I think back. I remember your first time in Kamloops. So you were 15 or 16. We were doing those media seminars. In fact, we all walked out to the – remember the we walked out to the pier where the two rivers meet? You were from Saskatoon, so – you know, we had all the guys out there. Do you remember that day at training camp at all?
I vaguely remember it.
Yeah.
But actually, when you talked about walking out to the pier, I don't remember a thing about that. So.
Really?
So yeah, so I guess.
Well, you were asking me all sorts of questions about like the two rivers and Kamloops, and you were very intrigued about this whole thing here. So here we are. 5-6 years later, and Kamloops, what do you think? What are your memories going to be of this town, of this city? Is, you know, who knows, your journey may take you back here at some point, but, you know, you spent a big chunk of your youth here in the city.
Yeah, of course. Me and my family love this city. It holds a special place in my heart to welcome me and support me for so many years, so many great developmental years here. So obviously, it's been a really fun time. I love the scenery, the mountains. That's obviously something that we don't have too much of in Sask, unless you're counting Table Mountain as a
table
as a mountain.
Yeah.
But it's been really great. It's been a lot of fun. And you know, I'll look back on these years and the city of Kamloops for the rest of my life. And like you said, who knows? Maybe my journey ahead of me takes me back to Kamloops sometime.
I thought you'd be more of a Blackstrap mountain guy, but table it is for you, I guess. What's next? Like, we've talked about, you know, where you're going to be next year and, you know, maybe a career path that you're starting to get intrigued about a little bit. And that's a really cool path, I think. You might be in school for a while, but tell me sort of what you're thinking next year might hold for you, Logan.
Yeah, so in terms of my paths, there's obviously going to be a hockey path and then a career path as well. So for my hockey path, I'd love to play some university hockey. Where that is, I don't know yet. But I'd love to.
You have some offers, like you have some opportunities.
Yeah, I have certain teams talking to me and intrigued by me. So that's pretty interesting. I don't know where, but that would be a really fun opportunity to continue my hockey, especially while I am able to use my WHL scholarship package and get an education. And on the career side or the education side, I think I'm going to go into business to start. So I'll do business to start. And then after that, hopefully I can get into law school. Because basically my thinking is when you look at NHL executives or people in business in the NHL, a lot of them have law backgrounds. And I think that's a really good way to maybe break into that, that area. And I think that'd be something that I would really, look forward to and be intrigued by, because, you know, playing hockey for so many years, you get, you know, wrapped up in the game and you love it, right? So to get back into the game when I'm not able to play, I think that'd be something that I'm really interested in, and I think this is a good way to do it.
You know, we talked about Vuki Mapofu, who is from Saskatoon. He has now worked for like 3 different NHL teams. The WHL just featured him. I chatted, I didn't chat with him, but we featured him in the WHL show. He's 28 years old. He's like working for, is it the Penguins right now, I think? Yeah, so... that'd be a cool path, like player agency or more on the management legal side of thing.
Well, I'm not too sure yet, but I think the management legal side would be pretty cool, working with contracts and other things like that. I think it'd be quite interesting. And yeah, my dad was the first person to kind of bring up Vuki Mapofu's story to me and kind of tell me a little bit about it. And I think we were driving to Candle Lake at that time, but it was really cool. I kind of was intrigued by it. I looked him up after, kind of saw his path and what he ended up doing, which was law school, right? So that's kind of where I got the first idea of maybe this is a path that I would like to go through, and it would lead me to a position that maybe he is in, and I think that would be something that I'm very intrigued by.
Candle Lake, side note, one of the nicest areas of Saskatchewan, nicest lakes, just north of PA there. Your family, your dad, principal at St. Therese. We were there this year for that road trip. You have a sister, your mom, Laura Lee. Your sister's, she's going to NCAA here like in the fall, right?
Correct.
What's the school again? It's not Merrimack.
It's Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac, yes. So I was talking to your dad, and he's like, all of a sudden, there's going to be some longer road trips here. It's Kamloops to Saskatoon is going to look like nothing compared to what lies ahead, I think, for the family there.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, it's a lot longer than the 13.5-hour drive to Kamloops, which in itself is quite a bit in general. But you know, when you have two guys in a car, or two people in a car that are able to drive it, it kind of splits it up. So my parents will be able to still make some trips out to Connecticut and see my sister play, but it might be a couple more flights that are in the books for them versus driving to Kamloops, which is usually what they do, just because my dad likes driving and he usually drives the whole way, actually, just because of he likes to be in control, I guess.
I'm the same way.
And he enjoys driving, so it gives you something to do, right? That's kind of how I am as well. So there'll be probably a little bit more flights to Connecticut than driving, but I think at least once he'll drive just to see what it's all about.
You will end up playing your entire WHL career with one team, which I think is great. But that maybe wasn't going to be the case. Like back in January, you saw three veterans walk out the door, right, and say goodbye to Shea Van Olm, Connor Levis, and Dylan Sidor. And I know there was teams knocking on the door for you because of your pedigree and what you've been through here. So let's go back to the trade deadline. Was that a nervous time for you? I think the organization came to you at some point and said, relax, you're not going anywhere. But take me back to that time where, you know, there was some uncertainty for sure.
Yeah, it's obviously an uncertain time for the whole team, right? You see some of your best friends and people that you've grown up with get traded away, and you never know when you'll see them again. So it is definitely a time of nervousness. But for myself, I kind of just took it one day at a time. I wasn't too wrapped up in it. I said, you know, I love where I am. I love the city of Kamloops. I love the Blazers, and I would love to stay. And I mean, if I happen to get traded, you have to look on the positives and say maybe the season would be lengthened, or maybe I get different opportunities. But I'm very happy that I was able to stay in Kamloops with the role that I was in, and being able to step into a pretty large leadership role this year. I thought it gave me a really good basis for my future, and helped me learn a lot of things about leadership that I might not get on another team. So that was quite cool and important to me when I kind of the decision to stay, and when I did stay, I was happy with the opportunity to stay and experience this new path and this new journey in a leadership role. So I think that'll serve up for the future, and it's something that I was definitely happy about when I did stay.
Yeah. Leadership role, mention that. Don Hay and yourself have a special relationship. I think he calls you his assistant. And a lot of times after the game, you guys will just sit down and kind of talk about the game, talk about plays, talk about a lot of things here. What's that relationship like with Hazer?
Yeah, it's really good. Hazer's a great coach. He loves the game. His passion for the game is amazing, and he carries that on to me. And that's one thing that I really, really love about having him as a coach. His passion for the game makes you a better player, makes you want to be better. And after games, maybe the next day, he'll often show me clips or ask me about certain plays or maybe the penalty kill and what he thinks that we can improve on. And I always like to have some sort of idea of what I'm going to say about that or give him something, right? But I think it's really good, and it really helps me kind of get into that side of analyzing the game instead of just playing it, to where I can understand what's going on and what we need to change to get better. So that relationship with Hazer has been a really big a growth opportunity in that sense.
There's a lot of eyes on you, like yourself, Firstie, Blake Swetlikoff, the 320-year-old. So we have a clip of Blake on the show here just talking about how he wanted to finish up his career and push this weekend for sure. But you have to think, like, part of this year is you leaving your legacy on this younger group of players. You know, when they get older, they'll think, you know, how did Logan handle this situation, or what would he say, or how did he act, or what did he do? Are you consciously aware in the moment that, you know, you're being watched and you know, your habits are trying to be picked up by the younger players? And do you have a sense of that at all?
Absolutely. I think at the start of the year, we had a meeting with Bob Wilkie and our leadership group. At that time, it was just myself, Fraser Minton, and Dylan Sidor. And we talked about how being a leader, your leadership style is bits and pieces of the leaders that have come before you.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I absolutely understand that where my leadership style comes from the people that I've experienced, whether it be Cluey, or other teammates I've had, or even back to my parents. Their leadership styles are parts of my leadership style. And I think that's something that you're aware of, and you want to rub off on them in a good way, in a way that when they're older and in a leadership role, you can carry the culture of the team into a good place and hopefully leave a legacy of where when they're old and they're in my situation, they're able to have a positive effect on the younger players on their team.
Okay, we're going to play a game, a little rapid fire. I'm going to give you a name of someone, and you just give me a one-word response. Okay, you ready? Let's start. Don Hay.
Passion.
Cluey.
Determination.
Good one. Toledo.
Funny.
Funny, that's a good one. Okay. Let's see. Blake Swetlikoff.
Smart.
Logan Stankoven.
Driven.
You're good at this. You're really good at this.
I'm trying to change up every word. I don't want to say the same word twice, but there'll be a time where I've already said a word and I gotta say it again.
People have a short memory, don't worry. Yeah. Where else are we gonna go with this? Caden Bankier.
Creative.
Creative. Really good one. Huh. Tony Barrows.
Leader.
Good one. We'll leave it with that. It's been a fun run here for you, and I want to commend you for taking what you were given as a hockey talent and riding it out for a full WHL career to be a captain of a WHL team. You know, coming into your career, if I would have said you're going to be on a Memorial Cup team, you're going to be the captain at 20. I don't know if that would surprise you or not. Would that have surprised you, or would you have said, yeah, that fits the mold here? What would have your reaction been?
My reaction would have been that would be a great place to be, and I would love to be in that situation. I can't tell you what I would be thinking if I would be in that situation, but I think that's a situation when I was 16 or 17 that I would love to be in, and I'd take it in a heartbeat.
It's been a pleasure, Logan. Go out and have a great final weekend, and you're a guy I think that we'll stay in touch with over the years, and we will see where your hockey journey takes you next year and your scholastic endeavors, and want to thank you for being a great guest on The Blaze, and I just have nothing to say but congratulations for what you've accomplished here in Kamloops.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Prospects Corner for Mastodon Equipment Repair. They are your mobile servicing and repair specialists. From coming up with a preventative maintenance program for all your equipment, they do aerial work platform inspections, pre-purchase inspections, and emergency repairs. They have you covered. Go big, go with Mastodon. I hope that Sheldon and Christopher got to some games here down the stretch and are excited about what the future lies ahead with the team. Appreciate the brothers being on board this year. You know what's been great is that we've talked a lot about these prospects. We're now seeing them play games. And you know, we had Logan Edmonstone on the show earlier. We've talked about Tommy Lafreniere. We've talked about Ty Bunkowski. And he made his WHL debut Tuesday. 15 years old. Sixth round selection in last year's draft, 130th overall. Some thought that he fell in the draft because of his two older brothers that went the BCHL NCAA route. But Ty said, okay, yeah, I'll come to Kamloops. And he played well. I asked Ty before the game just about, you know, the opportunity and what kind of player he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun so far. I mean, just grateful for the opportunity called up, and it should be fun.
For our fans, what kind of a player are you? How would you describe your game?
I think I'm a fast player, and I can play 200-foot game all over the ice and just play whatever role I need to help the team win.
So expect to see Ty Bunkowski wearing number 15 in action this weekend, Friday, Saturday. Likely still see Tommy Lafreniere. I do not think we'll see Hudson Claussen, though. That opportunity was missed due to that suspension picked up in the CSSHL. So that window that they were looking at against Kelowna, that did not happen. But this is something the team is bringing back. Blazer prospects. They'll do a little prospects camp here this summer after the WHL prospects draft, which happens in the second week of May. And later on, end of May, beginning of June, they'll bring the prospects in and have a camp again. They've gotten away from this. First of all, they got away from it due to COVID. And then the last 2 years, this team has played into June already. So there hasn't been really an opportunity to do it. So the camp would include the 2008-born players, those players who are going into their 16-year-old season next year, and then this draft class ahead. And it's trending to be a very large draft class with plenty of prospects here likely coming into the mix. They have a first-round pick, 2 seconds, 4 third-round selections, and 2 fourths. So that's 9 picks in the first 4 rounds right now. So I know some of you Blazer fans dialed in on the prospects here. You keep up to date. You listen to the podcast. You know who some of these players are. A chance to see them firsthand. A little summer hockey ahead. So more details on that as we get closer. That is Prospects Corner for Mastodon Equipment Repair. Okay, let's do some buying and selling. Kyle Panasuk, Westwind Royal LePage Realty Kamloops. Have you noticed the real estate market has picked up here big time? Lots of for sale signs and even some sold signs, at least in my neighborhood. To help you out with buying or selling, Kyle Panasuk, Westwind Royal LePage Realty Kamloops. Trusted real estate professionals on his cell phone, 250-819-9332. Okay, first of all, we bought Toledo last week after that interview. That was one of our most downloaded and played podcasts of the season, if I looked at the numbers. So thanks to everybody that heard that and, you know, messaged me or messaged him, more importantly, to talk about that with him. And, you know, this will be sort of the last song and dance this weekend. The last dance, like that documentary series with Toledo. There'll be a little ceremony coming up Friday night before the game. Hey, I'm buying Manny Viveros, head coach of the Vancouver Giants.
Bye, bye, bye!
He knows how the game works. He did not have his late power play unit out, his number one unit out late in that game Saturday night. He had several opportunities to, and in fact, I thought he would have been in every right to as the game got a little bit out of hand on home ice. Nope, still kept throwing out guys that don't normally see power play time, rewarding some of his younger players. We know what happened with Kelowna 2 weeks ago in that same scenario. It's not a scenario you want to be on, right? Like, I mean, obviously, you don't want to be in that scenario. But Manny, with class, handled that. So Manny has the hockey gods on his side with the Vancouver Giants. When something goes the Giants' way, in the playoffs, per se, or maybe even playoff seeding, hockey gods. And on the other side, Kelowna and Chris Millett, ooh, the hockey gods might not be smiling so much on you. Let's keep in mind, these two teams play each other here in the final weekend in a home-and-home set. Nobody wants to finish sixth. So if the hockey gods intervene here this weekend, something happens. The Blaze said it first. Hey, I'm buying Ashton Tate. Yeah, the 17-year-old jumped on our broadcast Tuesday during the intermission in Seattle.
Bye, bye, bye!
He talked about his offseason plans and the steps he wants to take.
definitely want to have a better season than this year, but I think if I put in a lot of work, I could see myself being a reliable guy in all ends of the ice, hopefully playing in a big minute moment. So I think, yeah, just really crucial summer for me. I want to come back a lot faster. I think that's been one thing that's kind of held me back a bit. So just going to be grinding the legs out this summer.
So good to have Ashton on there. Well spoken. He's come a long way with the microphone in front of him, getting more comfortable. So we wish him best of luck in the offseason, trying to come in as an 18-year-old next year and be an impact guy. Hey, I'm selling this WHL's tie-breaking format here in the final weekend. It puts Kamloops and Seattle in a very awkward spot this weekend. And in my opinion, it's flawed. The tiebreaker scenarios, how they jump from one to the next, they have one of the orders mixed up. So again, we talk about this. Most wins, that makes sense, right? Number one tiebreaker. Second one, head-to-head record within those two teams. That makes sense. Now, the third and the fourth tie-breaking scenarios, in my opinion, should be reversed. The next one should be goals for and against within that season series of the two teams. So in this case, Portland and Prince George played four games. We both know they won two. So that's tie, but then go to goals for and against. But no, that's not the next one. The next tie-breaking scenario after that is something we talked about. It's goals for and against in the entire season. And then, if for some reason, crazily, it's still tied, then they would go to goals for and against within that season series. In my opinion, that should change. It should go season series, then goals for and against among those two teams. They missed a step there. They missed a step. So maybe they get a chance to look at that and redo, because now it puts two teams, Blazers especially, have gone very young. It puts those 15 and 16 year olds and that team in a very awkward spot this weekend. It puts PG in a potentially awkward spot. It puts Seattle and Portland in a potential awkward spot. So that's one thing I'm selling. Hey, I'm selling
sell.
The 3-star selection in Seattle the other night. Hey, give our guys some credit here. Logan Edmonstone. Here's one thing. If you're picking stars for the home team, and I used to pick stars way back in the day. It's a thankless job. Man, I hated doing it. I used to pick them back in my previous spot. And here's a tip of advice right here. You can never go wrong by giving the opposition goaltender a star. You can never go wrong. It's one of those fail-safe moves. It's like a nod to, like, especially if you lose, right? Well, we got beat by a hot goaltender. Here's your star. You can't lose by doing it. But Eddie didn't make his way into the stars. First time, actually, that he hadn't in his 3 starts. This one, 48 saves. Phenomenal game for him. Hey, I'm buying
my
plans at the end of the month to catch an NHL game. That's plans are we'll go to Edmonton and a chance to hopefully see Olin Zellweger in the NHL in person. The Ducks will be on a western swing, or I guess for them it's an eastern swing, right? Or I guess we'll call it a Canadian swing. And Olin Zellweger's on the roster still, so it'd be nice to see him play in the NHL. He's doing it in his hometown of Edmonton, so he'll be a very busy guy. And maybe we can even swing him one of those Let Zelly Cook T-shirts here from the Blaze. We'll slide him one of those, and he can tape his stick and warm up with his T-shirt on. Hey, I'm buying. Hey, before Friday's game,
buy.
Get there early. Season awards will be handed out. Chance to honor the 3 20-year-olds as well who will move on. Logan Barros, Ashton Furster, Blake Svetlakov. Special tribute to Toledo coming up as well before that game. 1,938 games behind the Blazer bench in the regular season heading into this weekend. Hey, next week we'll do some buying and selling of the first round matchups in the WHL. We'll make some bold playoff predictions, so stay tuned to buying and selling next week. It is for Kyle Panasuk, West Wind, Royal LePage, Realty, Kamloops.
You've got mail.
And we do have mail this week. In fact, we have some mail from last week to get into. We'll start with that. It's for the Mattress King. A lot of people know the Mattress King has mattresses, of course, but still many that do not know they have furniture and electronics. The Mattress King, not just mattresses, the best deals around on new furniture. The Mattress King, 421 Mount Paul Way. Okay, so last week we had an extended version and we didn't get to everything, so let's try to close the bag on last week. Ian Murner at The Murn. I like that handle. He says, curious to hear your thoughts on the new players this year and thoughts on younger players arriving next year and who will be left next year likely for the 20-year-olds. Well, new players this year were definitely thrown into the fire and had to learn on the job and are still learning. And then after the trade deadline, that insulation that you can have for some of your younger players on the second and third and fourth lines, that insulation was, you know, somewhat removed. When you take out what happened to be four veteran forwards, that it really is going to expose your younger players and maybe put them into a matchup that puts them a year behind on the development side. Like, they're 16 years old, maybe they're playing against 17-year-olds, or maybe they're 17 and they're playing against 19-year-olds. We saw a lot of that after the trade deadline, because the Blazers, after that top line, definitely get young quick. In fact, the other night in Seattle, there's only four veteran forwards in the lineup, and then it was all first-year players. So this was a tough year for some of those first-year players. Now, 20-year-old front, that'll be interesting, because right now, there's only one 19-year-old who will be a 20-year-old next year. That's goaltender Dylan Ernst. They've traded out their other ones that would have been 20, Connor Levis, Shea Van Olm. And with that said, the Blazers will have to decide sort of who fits that goaltending tandem. Right now, there's three goaltenders with WHL game experience eligible for next season. And as far as new players arriving, we're seeing some of those new players arriving that'll be here next year. Ty Bunkowski, Tommy Lafreniere. We were hoping to see Hudson Claussen. If you caught earlier in the show, that did not happen. But good question, Ian, and we'll be keeping our eyes on all of those things. Brotherhood of Blazer goalies named Dylan. He said, great piece with Brother Garand a couple weeks back. He adds, they've had a soft spot for the Broncos long before I came around. He says, Sakic is my all-time favorite. Love seeing them leading the Central. In fact, now they've won the Central. Is it realistic for them to host a Memorial Cup? No, it's not. There's several venues in the WHL that would, just under the situation they're in now, would never host. And that would be Swift, for sure, would be in that mix. Where else would they not host? Prince Albert in their setup? No. Although they are building a new rink in PA. Where else? Well, they've had them in Saskatoon. They've had them in Regina. They've had them in Brandon. They've had them in, Lethbridge could probably pull it off, likely. Medicine Hat could pull it off. Calgary, Edmonton. It'll be interesting to see who bids in the 2026 event. We've heard Spokane could be interested. We've heard potentially maybe Medicine Hat. Maybe one of those teams like Everett or Seattle. Kelowna, if they get their upgrades, would they want to revisit that in 2026? I bet they might. But something to keep in mind here anyways, and appreciate the question and the comment. Brotherhood. Let's go to some questions now from this week. And Justin at Road Trip Beers, congratulations to your pair of golf passes. Hopefully you have picked those up by now. He goes, Blazer 2006 born players minus Harrison Rudick have put up 39 points in 310 games this season, while Blazer 2007 born players already have 56 points in 190 games. He goes, seems like the 2006s need to step it up if they want to stay around next season, and let's see some more young guys shine. Yeah, that's definitely, I'm sure, have been noted, and that's nothing that, you know, the 2006 born players don't know. There's always that pressure from behind, right? Like, ice time and situations. So there's always that pressure. And I think you need that pressure. You need that pressure, that pushing up from behind. So the 16-year-olds push the 17s and it goes all the way up the ladder. But good point on that. He says also that shout out to Jordan Keller, 13 points last 10 games, and says that he's chipped in on over half the Blazer goals going back since February 25th. Frazzle at Airport Beer. So we have Road Trip Beers and Airport Beers. I think these guys might be friends. The interview with Toledo got me thinking about life on the road more. Is the whole staff able to go out and enjoy some evening beers when time permits? And do you still bunk up in a hotel room with Tim? Yeah, I think when the situation presents itself, I mean, you know, you're adults. Nothing too crazy. I've been around teams where the staff, you know, they went out a lot, like went out to restaurants and dinners and maybe drinks. And some staffs don't do it as much. Some staffs stay sort of within the walls of the hotel or within the walls of a hotel room and just have a gathering inside one of the rooms as a staff. That's more like this year's edition and the last number of years with the team here for sure. Sort of low key. And I don't mind the low key for sure. With Tim, you know what? I guess we'll do whatever's best for the hockey club. It depends on how many rooms are available and also are all the rooms being used? Was one canceled? If we need to bunk up, we will. And if we don't, if there's extra rooms, then we don't. It's probably Frazzle half the time or so. That's probably a good mark. But you know what? I guess we're sort of the buffer as far as, you know, the rooms go. If there's room, then yeah. If not, then no. Mitchie the Kid at Mitchell Hughes. What do we have for draft picks for the upcoming draft? Do you see moving a few of these picks to improve the back end for next year? Well, I will start with the picks. Lots. First round pick, 2 seconds, 4 thirds, 2 fourths, 9 picks in the opening 4 rounds. Nothing in the 5th right now, but then 2 in the 6th. And that's what the picks look like. And will they use these picks? I think they will. I don't think you can use all those picks to draft players. I mean, you could, but you have some ammo there. There'll be teams looking to get into those rounds, into the 3rd round, the 4th round. You have ample picks. Could move these picks potentially for some help. You say back end, but I think it's all areas. Forward group, also the blue line. I think in an ideal world, you know, if you don't go with a 20-year-old goaltender, which the Blazers could, if you don't, then you have 3 20s as positional players. Likely you'd go, what, probably 2 forwards and a defenseman to replace the setup that is right now, right? That's probably what I would see. But that's something to keep an eye on, Mitchell Hughes, and something we'll watch too. Andrew at @ATR_sports. With no playoffs this season, do the Blazers continue to hold a few wrap-up practices after the last game, or do they grab the golf bags and head out? There's exit meetings a day or two after the final game of the season where every player meets with the coaches and management and sort of sets the goal for the summer, the expectations for next year. But after that, yeah, players return home for the most part. The odd one sticks around for a while, maybe with their billets or they have some friends or a girlfriend in town here. But usually you miss the playoffs and within 48 hours, usually everybody is on their way. Matt at New Schooler 720. He goes, how do you think PG Portland would match up against Kamloops and Seattle from last season? He feels they'd be pretty even with Kamloops, but I feel Seattle would have a clear edge on both, he says. More importantly, how do you feel they match up against each other in the likely conference final? So a lot of questions in this one, but thanks for that question, Matt. When you mention PG and Portland this season compared to Kamloops and Seattle of last year. And of course, we'll never know head-to-head. We never will. But what you can look at is on paper. And on paper, Kamloops and Seattle, they trump those two teams, and by a long shot, to be honest with you. All you can look at is first-round draft picks. You can look at pro talent that has moved on. Let's keep in mind, these teams have players in the NHL right now, full-time guys. Logan Stankoven, Olin Zellweger, Dylan Gunther. I mean, these are NHL players. In fact, if you combine the two teams, I think they turned over something like 18 into pro hockey. 18. I, you know, no disrespect, I don't see 18 pros combined with these two rosters, with Prince George and Portland now. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think we're probably looking more in the ballpark of 8 to 10 players that'll turn pro from these two rosters. So if you just want to look at it again, I don't know if there'll ever be another setup like that with, you know, the powerhouses and those rosters and the amount of players playing pro hockey, World Junior guys. We mentioned NHL first-round picks. They were everywhere, everywhere in those two teams, not on these two teams. So you can't play it on the ice, but you can play it on paper, and there's definitely last year, you know, a couple of super teams for sure. And if those two teams match up, their current versions, like many think that'll happen, that'll be very interesting. Not much to pick between those two teams. Goaltending will be massive. I think Portland needs more out of Jan Spoonar than what has been happening lately. It'll be a great matchup. If it was just like a video game, and you took out, you know, the emotion and you took out, you know, some of the intangibles, I think Portland is the better skating, more offensive team. But when you factor in the physicality and the power play and everything else, then it's a toss up. It really is a bit of a toss up. It'll be interesting. Season series was tied 2 wins apiece as well. And the Puck House says, I really like how Edmund Stone has played in his first few games. He's shown that he belongs on the roster next season. I think it's going to make the decision tough on who to go with as our two goaltenders. Very much so, Puck House. And yeah, you now have three goaltenders with WHL experience. So how do you make that into two next year? How do you make that into two? That'll be answered through, it won't be answered over the summer. I don't think. It'll be answered through training camp, through the exhibition process, and then they'll have to make up some sort of a game plan for next year. But that'll be one of the storylines for sure, Puckhouse, for next season. That is fan mail for the Mattress King. Okay, let's do our final closing remarks for the regular season for Pleasure Pools Plus. Check out their massive roster of affordable H2O, Cal, Sundance Spas. They do hot tub repairs, service, and advice. Talk to Len, Siri, and their staff today. If you're thinking about adding that backyard pool, it's Pleasure Pools Plus. Are you thinking about it? Do you want? Everybody in Kamloops for a while there had a pool, didn't they? Okay, so here's what lies ahead. Friday night, Blazers, Cougars, and it'll be the award ceremony. Colin Toledo Robinson, special ceremony for him as he wraps up 29 years and nearly 2,000 games in the WHL. So get to the rink early and get in your seat and get ready to go. It's going to be a tough matchup this weekend. Blazers, very young. Cougars have eyes on first. And as you caught earlier in the show, that goals for and against in the season may factor into that top seed with Portland. Blazers will have their hands full, and the Cougars will be gunning for both wins and to not only win, but win large, I would think. WHL prospects draft and import draft, those are things we can start turning our focus to here on the show as we move forward. Last year, we took this show all the way into June. And we won't go that deep this year, but still some episodes here to come. We'll preview the prospects draft and talk a little bit more about how the roster will look like next season. We'll also have our eye on WHL playoffs. We'll also be making some predictions. So we'll put the pod together for a few more times before the rest of the year. Want to say thanks to Rivershore Golf Links. I know Kevin is somewhere down. He's back in Mexico again, sending me pictures from the 7th at the Greg Norman course near Cabo. It's crazy. It's crazy, this guy. Anyways, hey, we'll enjoy the final weekend. We'll do a wrap-up show next week. Thanks for your support, the questions, the comments, and the downloads and the plays. We appreciate it all here. Episode 26 in the books for Rivershore Golf Links.